What a tremendous and wonderful blessing to have been here in this place worshiping the Lord and seeing such a manifest presence of His Spirit. And the songs that have been sung, the prayers that have been prayed, and the faithful proclamation of the gospel, the Lord Jesus. I love you all very much. Came first to this association before I was a Primitive Baptist. And felt the love of the Lord from the very first time. I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate your labors. And appreciate your love. Have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 10. Says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius's name means of a horn, H-O-R-N. Horn in the Bible is oftentimes a picture of power and strength and might. The first time that word is used is in Genesis chapter 22, where that ram's horns are caught in the thicket that would be a substitute for the sacrifice of Isaac. And a vivid picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, in Cornelius, we have a man that's not strong in himself, but a man who is strong in the Lord. And the Lord gives us some descriptions of this man. This is a man, I believe with all my heart, the Lord had already born again. He had already changed his heart. He had already put his Holy Spirit within him before he ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That tells me the new birth does not happen by the gospel, but God Almighty always gets there before the preacher does. Amen. And God gives some description of this man of qualities that God values. I'm going to tell you, the world has really messed up values regarding a man. The world would paint a value of a sissy man. The world would paint a value of somebody that's so tough that they're violent or they're mean as being a strong man. But I'm going to tell you, God's going to describe the values in Cornelius' life that he has put within him that God values. And I pray to God, as I read the values and the characteristics of this man, of qualities that God has given him, that they would be qualities that all of us would seek to have. He was a devout man. That word devout means godly. It means reverent. We need godly, reverent men today. One that feared God with all his house. We need men that fear God today. We don't have the ability of fathers to be able to put the fear of the Lord in our children's hearts. But I'll tell you, we ought to teach them how to walk in a way that's a God-fearing way, which gave much alms to the people. He was a generous man. He was a man that thought more than about his own needs, but the needs of others. May I be that kind of man. and pray to God always. Not sometimes.
That's right.
Not seldom. Not even a whole lot. But always. God, give us men that pray to God always. Pray for me now. He was a centurion. He had the command of 100 Roman soldiers. He was a man of power. He was a man of strength. But he realized his strength didn't come from himself, but his strength came from the Lord. And tonight, the greatest men I've ever known have realized that their strength does not come from themselves, but comes from the Lord. And it's true of all the sisters here tonight. Some of the strongest people I've ever known in my life were sisters. But your strength does not come from yourself. It comes from the Lord.
Amen.
He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day. It was the hour of prayer. You're going to see, as Cornelius would later tell this story, he is praying to God when this happens. An angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto them, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. He said, Cornelius, the prayers that you prayed have gone up into the very throne room of God. And God, with each prayer you prayed, God remembered you in a special way. A memorial is a remembrance. We have memorials to remember the lives of people, to remember the things and the great things that some of those people have done. But the memorials of men can fade away. The memorials of men can be broken down. Me and Brother John Mark several years ago were riding our four-wheelers close to a reservoir up in North Mississippi. We came upon a sad sight. There was a place where a cemetery had been. And there were many memorial stones commemorating the lives of those that had lived. But some waters of a flood had washed those memorial stones away. And they were in a big mess. We've seen memorials of some great military leaders in the American Revolution, in the Civil War, that had been taken down. But I'm going to tell you the memorial that Cornelius had before the Lord, no storm could ever wash away.
Amen.
Not all the might of men could ever throw down that memorial. But Cornelius' prayers came up as a memorial before God. And God was pleased. And God remembered Cornelius.
Amen.
Not that God ever forgot him. God doesn't forget. The folks at Providence knows how forgetful their pastor is. But God don't forget. But it's a special remembrance. And you know our prayers go up, I believe, the same way. Why do you say that, Brother Mark? Because the same blood that was shed for Cornelius is the same blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for you. And our prayers come up into the very throne room of God before the throne of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is that our prayers, our alms go up for a memorial before God into heaven itself. What a blessing. And now send men to Joppa. I believe Cornelius was praying for guidance. Cornelius had a new heart. His heart was right, but he's going to need some knowledge that he doesn't have. He's going to need some good news that he doesn't have. And God doesn't leave him in suspense. Cornelius doesn't know what to do. So what did he do? He prayed to God, and his prayers went to the throne room of Almighty God. And God's going to tell him what to do. You know, God's the best communicator there's ever been. And God, when he's ready to get his point across, he does not have any trouble. So we don't know what to do. We pray. When God hadn't spoken, we'd be still. And we know that he's God. Because when he's ready, he'll tell us what to do. Look at the specificity. And now send men to Joppa, which was about 36 miles away. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. The Lord's got a specific thing in mind. Cornelius needs to hear the gospel. Cornelius needs to be made wise unto his salvation that he's already been given. But he needs to know more about it. And God's got a particular man to preach the gospel to him. He didn't say go to John. He said, go, you call for Peter. Peter needs to do this. Little bit of an issue. Peter's don't want to go. But the Lord will take care of that too. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. You can tell how much Cornelius was loved by those that worked under him. You know, great leaders should have a lot of qualities. But I've always believed that great leaders should have this one indispensable quality, because no matter what other qualities they may have other than this, if they don't have this, they're not a good leader. And it's because it's a leadership trait that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ possesses. You got to love your people. You got to be able to show them you love them. A leader doesn't have that quality. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care how knowledgeable they are. If they don't have that, they're not a good leader. Amen. Cornelius had that. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. And Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The Lord's timing's perfect. He doesn't communicate to Cornelius and Peter at the same time. Why? Because the Lord's timing's perfect. They got a little journey to make, and Peter doesn't need the message yet. But when Peter does need the message, God's going to make sure he gets it. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, please tell me what to do. Maybe I don't need the message yet. Till he tells me what I need to do. Peter's praying. Seems like prayer is more than us just talking to God. That the Lord communicates back to us. Amen. He did it to Cornelius. And he did it to Peter. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open. And an earthen vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, with all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Do we need any commentary on that? You think Peter didn't know what the Lord said? Peter don't want to do what the Lord said. And he utters some words that I wouldn't suggest we ever utter. He said, "Not so, Lord." We don't ever need to argue with the Lord. We may not have said those words, but I'll tell you, my actions on many occasions have had said, "Not so, Lord." "For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common." This happened three times. Peter should have gotten a clue. You know, if heaven's open and something's coming down from heaven, it's probably pretty good. The VRBO we're staying in, was either Sister Sharon or Sister Emily opened it up to cook some stuff in the oven, and there were still burgers in there from the other folks. And I was teasing. I said, "Give me one of those things. They may be good." But I really wasn't eating it. You know why? I don't know where they came from. But if something comes from heaven, it's good. He said, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common." And Peter's going to get the message that God's not talking about these animals, but he's talking about men. He's going to later say in verse 28, "God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. God hath cleansed the men that are going to come to Peter." While Peter doubted in himself, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three. How many times did this sheep come down? Three times. While Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." Three times the sheep came down. God said, "Call not what God has cleansed common or unclean." And here's three men that God has cleansed.
Amen.
That God has sent. Peter's doubting. Do we ever doubt? Peter's an apostle. Do we preachers ever doubt?
Yep.
Peter doubted. Said, while Peter thought on the thing, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore." Again, look at the plain direction of the Lord. "Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing." We should never doubt what the Lord gives us. Doubting nothing. "For I have sent thee." They came from me. You go with them and you don't doubt. And Peter would go to preach to them. Those men would tell Peter that Cornelius was a just man and one that feared God and a good report amongst all the nation of the Jews. One of the qualifications of a minister is to have a good report. Them that without. That's a good thing for all godly children of God. To have a good report of them that were without. To conduct ourselves in such a way that God is honored and God is pleased and God is glorified. So Cornelius is waiting because the gospel message is worth waiting for. It's so precious.
Amen.
It's worth waiting for. And Cornelius is waiting. And he's called together his kinsmen and near friends. Because the good news that's going to be preached to Peter, he wants his kinsmen and his near friends to hear that same precious, glorious, wondrous gospel. We ought to want that for our kinsmen, our near friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Do you think Cornelius thought he was doing right? I think he did. I think Cornelius' heart was right. He had a born-again heart, but he doesn't have the knowledge he needs to have. And so he's got a good motive, but he's doing a very wrong thing. He's worshiping a man. But that shows us what our inclination is. Our inclination a lot of times is to make things about men. To worship men. I'm sure Cornelius was thinking, I'm so unworthy. I'm so undone. And God sent this man to preach to me. And he probably thought he was doing right, but he was doing the very wrong thing. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks in this world that have a heart, a born-again heart just like ours. But because they haven't heard the true gospel of the Lord Jesus, because they don't have the knowledge they need to have, they're doing very wrong things. They think it's right. Cornelius thought it was right. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Peter doesn't suffer it. Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. This preacher that didn't even want to come. But the Lord got him to come. The Lord impressed upon him, this is my will, Peter. You be obedient to him, to it. And I would to God, whenever we as ministers go to preach the gospel, we would seek the Lord in the matter. If the Lord particularly wanted Peter to go to a certain place at a certain time to preach to a certain people, maybe there's times the Lord still does that today. And maybe Brother Mark doesn't need to go, but maybe Brother Adam needs to go. I don't know, but the Lord does. We don't need to be cavalier about preaching the gospel. We need to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Even if I didn't want to at first. Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Peter goes and Cornelius tells the account. The Lord was working on both ends of the stick. He was working on Cornelius and he was working on Peter. And the Lord still does that today in 2023. Works on both ends of the stick. Cornelius said, when the Lord told me what I needed to do, he said, immediately. Immediately. He didn't tarry. But when God showed him, Cornelius, this is what you need to do, he did it immediately. And so should we. The Lord's burdened your heart to join his church, to be baptized in his name. We should do that immediately. Whatever the Lord has burdened us to do, and it's consistent with his word, we should do it immediately. He said, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God. God was there for them to hear the proclamation of his word. God was there. And God's still meeting with his people today. in 2023. We felt His presence. We felt His arms of grace wrapped around us. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Peter, whatever the Lord's commanded you, whatever message the Lord's given to you, give it all to us. Don't hold anything back. Give us all things commanded thee of God. Peter begins to preach. He opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." What does that mean? We need to keep reading, and it'll explain it. One sense, you say God's respect, no respecter of persons. I guess there's not an elect. That's not what this means. He's preaching to the elect, but it ain't the elect amongst the nation of the Jews. It's the elect amongst the Gentiles. I don't know if we have a Jew by race in the congregation. I'm going to tell you, this is a precious message. Not only that God came to save us as Gentiles, but that He also sent the gospel to us as Gentiles. They didn't always have the oracles of God. But God in His grace and in His mercy and in His love has blessed us with the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus and what He has done for us. May I never take it for granted. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. He doesn't say, y'all need to accept Jesus. He's saying, Jesus has accepted you. What a blessing. What a blessing. The word of God, which He sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, the Jews and also the Gentiles. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee and after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. It's a great blessing. There's a sense in which the Lord has anointed us with the Holy Ghost. He's put the Holy Ghost in our heart. But I'll tell you, He gave the Holy Ghost to Jesus without measure. John 3 tells us, without measure. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Didn't say the Lord oppressed them. It said they were oppressed of the devil. May we never blame God on what the devil has done. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, and commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify, it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him did all the prophets witness that through the same, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Here, Peter basically preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, of the finished work of the Lord Jesus, that he got the job done, that he finished the work of redemption for all the elect family of God, Jews and Gentiles. And look at what happened. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcisions which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out in great measure. Was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God was present and the Holy Ghost came down in a vivid and wonderful and majestic and glorious way. And God's still doing that today. In 2023 in Arkansas. Some folks can't find this place. The Lord knows right where it is. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You see, Cornelius had gotten some knowledge. He was wanting to magnify man. He was wanting to bow down to Peter. But now he's heard the glorious gospel. He's heard the truth. And he doesn't want to magnify man anymore. He wants to magnify God. My God is big. My God is glorious. Magnify God.
I don't mean to tear up the equipment here.
Can any man forbid water? Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? That's our scriptural authority. When we vote on what is baptism, it's an entrance into the church. I'm going to tell you, when somebody comes and joins the church of the Lord Jesus, it's almost like a marriage. There's making a covenant. Lord, I'll be faithful to thee all the days of my life. There's a promise made. There's a covenant made. And it's serious. And it's glorious. What was Peter sent to them for? Cornelius, he's going to tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius, be baptized. Cornelius, you joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to dwell there, Cornelius. Everything you need is right there. Brother Adam, in the song service, he was saying, you got a text? I said, I think I do. Went to a place in Genesis 24 where the servant of the Lord was standing without. Laban says, why do you stand without? Everything you need is in this house. All the food that you need is here. Why do you stand without? Be baptized.
Amen.
Amen.
In the house of the Lord. Is everything the little sheep of God needs.
Amen.
His word. His Holy Spirit. God is here. Everything we need is here. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed. They him. To series certain days. They didn't want that to end. Do you want this to end? I know you want this sermon to end. We want to hear Brother David, but not this meeting to end. Let's tarry certain days.
Amen.
What a wondrous Lord we serve. Brother Mark, I don't want know what to do. Pray to God. He'll direct you like he did Cornelius. He'll direct you like he did Peter. He'll tell thee what thou hast to do. And I'm going to tell you, when we're faithful and obedient to what the Lord has called us to do, what a tremendous and wonderful blessing it is. The Lord has been so good to us. And I'm going to tell you, there's a salvation in the house of God, a temporal, timely salvation in the house of God that will save you from an untoward generation. And we need it.
Amen.
What a blessing. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen.
Praying for you, Brother David.